CliffCentral.com.
It is a Friday morning. We've got the sun rising in everybody's faces. Ben and Sureshni both have blinds behind or in front of them, so it looks like they're buffering almost. You know, like the old school modem that just go beep, that whole thing. Sureshni Wright is here.
Ben, I still love that dial-up.
Yeah, well, I didn't, and it was always super slow. You couldn't do anything with it. Do you remember when we used to have to wait for like a 10-minute clip, or I mean a 10-second clip, to like load, because there was our internet was so slow? And now we just, this is what I always say, is like humans have this built-in ability to forget how far we've come and to complain about stuff we've got now that like 5 years ago we would have been thrilled to have. We seem to build from wherever we just left off instead of realizing how much good stuff has happened along the way. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We have to wait a whole week for a Knight Rider episode, a whole week to figure out, did Kit get to the other side? You know, miserable things. Yeah, you waited for that one episode, man.
You have to learn patience. Sorry, Ben, you just switched off for some reason. Come back on. Don't know what happened there.
Let's see what's going on here.
Sorry.
No, there was you. Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
No, I was saying we had to wait about 5 minutes to see one topless picture in those early days of internet.
That's exactly right. Oh, my God. What a lot of work. But then I suppose also that, you know, we tend to think that that things are much worse here. I know people in America who have shittier internet than we do and who don't necessarily – they still don't know how to use basic, you know, like the kinds of apps that you use for meetings now, whether it's Microsoft Teams or Zoom or anything else. People are already struggling with that stuff. All right, let's get to a couple of stories that are in the news. I don't know if any of you are excited about this or whether it's just me, but I saw the trailer for the new Top Gun movie, which has come out.
Yes. And this, it was meant to come out last year, April, right?
This looks very exciting. I think they delayed it because of COVID and everything else. But it's coming back on, and Tom Cruise is in it looking not that much older, I got to say. He's got some weird voodoo going on that keeps him looking young. But it looks very, very cool.
There is that religion of his.
Yeah, that Scientology. Listen, if he can look like that, maybe it's worth giving Scientology a try. Huh? I mean, don't you?
Maverick and Goose.
Don't you reckon if you could, because Tom Cruise looks exactly the same as he looked 20 years ago. So if that's what Scientology gives you, I'll take some of that. Thank you. What do I have to do? Become an operating thetan. I have to be strapped up to that machine that takes away all the bad energy or whatever it is. Someone can explain that to me. Have you seen the trailer, Ben?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm having a bit of a challenge here with my
AI challenge.
There we go.
Well, anyway. Yeah, I want to see this movie. I don't know when it actually comes out, but I've got to go and watch that at the cinema. That'll be worth watching because it's on the big screen, obviously. So Congo Chris says, trust me, you don't want to join Scientology. Look, I'm not being serious, but it does look like they've discovered the secret to eternal youth. If you look at Tom, I'm sure there are lots of Scientologists who look like shit. So I wouldn't necessarily.
Tom is also single, hey? Maybe that's his secret, not being married.
Well, no,
maybe that was his thing.
It's not a secret. It's just that no one can stay with him because he's so insane. So as soon as they move in with him, they realize they've made a terrible mistake. I mean, Nicole Kidman has never been happier than when she got out of Tom Cruise's house. Same goes for Katie
and
Holmes.
Katie Holmes.
Remember, there were signs up on her her ward where she was giving birth, reminding her not to scream.
That's right.
You're not supposed to make a noise when you give birth.
Yeah. No, I reckon living with Tom Cruise, it's a challenge, just like Ben's technical challenge this morning. But I mean, put a movie together with jets and motorbikes and fast cars and beautiful women, and there's no way any guy's going to not want to watch that. And I know that people criticize Top Gun for being really stupid and like very much stuck in the 80s, just like the 80s show, which is coming up today with Dory and Paolo and everything else. But the fact is that was kind of – that was one of the coolest movies when I was a kid. I still reckon like you are only cool if you can fly a jet and ride a motorbike and wear those leather jackets. But if you've ever looked
at – that was the ultimate alpha-ness.
Sure. Sure. But – and I don't mean to be horrible here – but Kelly McGillis, who was his co-star, have you seen what she looks like?
I didn't like her. I didn't think they should have been shipped even back then. I didn't think that she was a great. I was like, oh, man.
Okay, well.
She
had her teeth were so large, overpowered Tom Cruise. Like, it was the size of his ear.
And listen, Tom, it's not like Tom Cruise has small teeth, but I'm just going to say Tom Cruise then and now, and I'll show you a picture of her then and now. And
it's really unfair.
Yeah, it's really unfair what happened to people. It's really not.
Did she even do movies after Top Gun? Shame, I don't think she did.
I don't think she did. Shame. I mean, I'll show you a quick then and now, and you can decide whether we're being unkind or not. But here's a picture of Tom, and then we can compare side by side with Kelly McGillis, who was his main co-star in there. So here's Tom. This is what he looked like back in, I think it was, what year was Top Gun? Like somewhere in 80.
About 1986.
86. So look at Tom. Okay. Just look at that. Not a whole lot of change. He looks pretty good. I mean, you know, age is something which is going to hit us all, whether we like it or not. But then take a look at Kelly and, you know, it's just.
Oh, no.
Sometimes Father Time chops at every branch on your tree, and you just come rolling down the tree, smashing against the stem, hitting the ground really hard. Here's Kelly. Not great.
Oh, that's she a really good
bad
picture of her.
Not that bad. No, it's okay. Not that bad.
You found a great picture of her.
I didn't want to be too cruel.
I'd be happy to look like that at her age.
You would?
Same. Okay. And she hasn't done face work, or you can see she hasn't been Botoxed or... No, she looks great.
All right, well, I'll show you another picture then that maybe is not so flattering. Since you guys have pushed me. Now, I wasn't going to be super cruel, but now because you've asked so nicely, I'm going to show you a different picture.
But, I mean, Gareth, you preface this whole thing like looking like she literally looks like a dropped potato.
All right.
She looks fine.
Okay, so I found a nice picture. So, okay, I wasn't trying to be horrible. So here's the picture that I should have shown you then. You ready? There we go. It looks like a grand.
Is that really her?
That's her. That's Kelly McGillis.
This is somebody shopping at Walmart, man. It's, no.
Wow, that's like a dating profile pic to actual thing. Wow.
Anyway.
This is that Ken pal that you wrote to, Ben.
There
this
it is.
This is the girl.
You've been right. There she is. She's got my letters under her arm there.
We found her.
Oh, my God. No, not good. All right, so a couple of things. Google has announced that there are 30,000 developer scholarships that are available for Africans, which is really good news because we need all the jobs we can get here in South Africa. And apparently some of these are jobs that you can do from here. You don't have to move to America to work for Google. How does that work, Leanne? Let's just give people a little bit of hope this Friday morning in case they're sitting at home going, can't get a job and I'm going to end up like Kelly McGillis.
That's really cool. So they can become professional. It's anyone from beginners to professional developers, but they'll train you to become a professional developer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to say that you work for Google is just like a pipe dream.
Yeah.
And now they're tapping into Africa, which is quite amazing. Look, Africa's got a very high population as a continent, and there are only 30,000 scholarships available.
Right.
But you never know. You know,
let's grab one of these. So do you go to google.com? I've heard of that website.
You've got to Google, and then you'll find us.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's going
to
be easy.
No, you actually go to the Plural Site website. Plural Site, SIGHT.
PLURALSIGHT.
Yes.
Okay.
.com. And there you can actually apply for these scholarships, which is pretty cool.
Let me ask you guys,
grow with Google.
What would be your dream job? Because we often think about this, and you might already be in your dream job. It actually came up in a conversation with somebody we had on the show about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But what if you're already in your dream job and you don't realize it? Have you ever thought of someone else doing something else and thought, that's what I'd rather be doing?
Oh, it's a good question, because you then had that reference point. I always look at guys who do like the whole nature photography and game ranger people. If they get it right, you get to wear shorts every day, win. You get to like be outside.
Yeah.
And then you get to be around animals. That to me sounds great. It really is. But then you learn so much about poaching, and then that's depressing. So that always brings me back.
Well,
and they're all the bugs.
Yeah, I knew a guy who did exactly that job. He kind of worked with the animals during the day, and then he would take photographs early in the morning and in the afternoons when the light was good. And he knew one of these private nature reserves like the back of his hand. And to boot, he ended up meeting this really hot girl who came out from England to be a game ranger. And the two of them ended up together. I mean, it just sounds like the perfect story, right? And Ben, you were telling me about John Vaati, because you read his story a while ago. That was a hell of a – what a life that guy led. I mean, he's still alive, right?
You must try to find John Vaati's biography somewhere. I don't think it was a big seller, but that guy's life, that guy in general was very interesting. But speaking of books, I think if I were to ever look at someone and say, what is the dream job? Like, look at the life of Wilbur Smith. And you look at what he managed to do in the life that he lived. I reckon that guy got it right amongst, you know, kind of like he was his novels, right? So he would take 3 months a year to go and travel and investigate things and research things and hang out with these people to create these characters.
Yeah.
He was kind of like an Ian Fleming in many ways.
Was he married to Gillian van Houten?
John Vaati was, yeah. They were never married, but they are together with children and things, but they never actually married.
She was the news presenter.
That's right.
Yes, I remember her.
She was. And what John did was, John saw her on TV one day and literally pulled the Gareth, wrote her a letter and said, rather than talking about the news, come and make the news with me. And she was like, oh gosh, what a cavalier.
That is so romantic.
Yeah, but he wasn't a romantic guy. He was a bit of a shit. But you've got to read the story. Read the whole book.
Didn't he also pork like a whole lot of celebrities when they would come out here from overseas and he would...
Gareth, that guy threw dick like no one else. Yeah, from what I gather. Did. I mean, like he alludes to it in the book quite a lot, but he... Yeah, completely. Like
all these famous women would come out from America and they'd do concerts here or whatever, and then John would invite them to Londolozi and then he'd pork them in his private game reserve. I mean, what a life, right? What a life.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was, because back then, like, game driving and all that kind of stuff, nature trips wasn't what it is now. Yeah. See, there he is. He just hangs out with tigers. He was like the Siegfried and Roy of SA.
But he was also the first person to really make private game reserves a thing, wasn't he?
Exactly. It's exactly what it was. So, I mean, an incredible character. I've never met the guy. I wouldn't be able to talk personally of it, but the guy's life was fascinating.
So, right.
He was the guy that he would be able to show you leopards. He would be able to show you lions, and he would have like access to these things.
Yeah.
And then, women obviously got bowled over by that.
Well, he was just, imagine if you're someone from America and you come to safari and, you know, you're suddenly around these dangerous wild animals and there's this guy who can find not only a leopard in the bush, but he can also protect you and he can shoot a gun and he can fly a helicopter and fly a plane and he can run this amazing reserve. I mean, it's a sexy proposition to some Hollywood star who's only lived in a city her whole life. I think it's great.
He could give you a right good seeing to under the African stars. This was his package.
All right, so we've definitely zeroed in on like Ben's dream job is to kind of relive the John Vaati experience, I suppose, or Wilbur
just
Smith.
Just for a dick in the wilderness, yeah.
So here's a picture of Wilbur Smith, because I didn't even know what he looked like. My dad has read a whole ton of his books. If you saw the Wilbur Smith collection in my dad's house, you'd shit yourself. But here he is. He's sitting on a chair with like a leopard skin and he's got two elephant tusks in the background. He looks like, and he's got a gun on his lap. So this is my kind of guy.
He looks like a Wilbur.
He looked
a lot older when I saw him. I told you I had dinner at his house.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Yeah. Ow.
What?
Tell us more.
Yeah.
No, that is your party trick. You had dinner? Why? How?
Yeah. Why how did
I was dating someone who I was dating someone who knew him and his wife, and we had this intimate dinner of like eight people his house. But by then, he kind of barely knew who he was.
Yeah.
He was very fascinated with my cleavage, I must say.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the thing with you, though.
Well, Leanne, you see, obviously, that was his last wife from Tajikistan.
Yes, that's the one.
His wife was actually getting quite jealous about it. It was a bit awkward.
Okay, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because weren't you dating someone of the same age at the time?
Yes, I was.
And Wilbur Smith, by the way, he only died in 2021, so he only died last year.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Okay, so now
there's actually an Instagram account. There's an Instagram account you can follow, and it's his current wife. Well, obviously now past. And she uploads random stuff. It's pretty funny.
She's mad as a hatter. I'll have you know.
She's crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah, but she's a lot of fun.
All right, so we've got an idea of, like, Ben would like to be a Wilbur Smith crossed with a John Vartie with a wildlife photographer as a dream job. I mean, that's pretty cool. Yeah. What would yours be, Sureshni?
Sure. Other than radio, it would have been owning a school. I love teaching. I love kids. Huh. Yeah, I always wanted to have, a Sunshine's Play School, something like that. I love kids. I think that I'm very imaginative, and I think I'd be okay as a school teacher. My daughter would tell you otherwise, that I'm the biggest dragon in the whole world. I'm the meanest mom. But yeah, I think something like that. I think as a kid, I wanted to work at the post office, actually, because of those beautiful stamps. I thought stamping must be the coolest thing in the whole world.
Ben and I just ruined that dream for you this morning with his description of the woman at the counter who goes...
Itchy dick, dusting, you know. Yeah, I think maybe something to do with kids like that.
What about you, Leanne?
Probably to be Gillian Van Houten.
So to be swept away by some wildlife, some owner of a private game reserve.
Yeah, like some former Miss South Africa gets...
But didn't you did TV news for a while. If you just got your tits out more, you could have been in the bush by now.
Exactly.
Alas, you've let yourself go, Leanne, really.
It's actually kind of weird because I know a lot of lion people.
Mm.
You know, the ones who actually play with them and...
Yeah.
You know, roll around in the grass with them.
The ones who haven't.
But they're
been.
Quite.
I love those people. Love them.
They're quite strange, though. I mean, you'd have to be that sort of person. So and also game rangers. They're a different breed, hey.
Well,
but I reckon I would put up with it just to have that lifestyle.
Congo Chris says that Wilbur Smith probably thought you were that lady from Mango Groove. That's why I'm so interested in you. Oh, that's great. And Sanele says, wow, ass, you had dinner at Wilbur Smith's house. You just became hugely attractive to me. What are you doing next Friday? All right. Very good.
Oh, gosh.
So listen, I want to introduce to the conversation Matthew Govender, who I've been watching all his videos on TikTok, and I had no idea who he was, but I'd seen his videos before. And this guy's fantastic. He's got like millions of followers on social media, and he's doing so well, and the stuff is hilarious, and it's really, you know, I gotta say, like, South Africa's full of funny people, but if there's one thing that TikTok has shown us, it's that if you've got talent and you can make people laugh and you've got really funny ideas and you're prepared to put in the time and the effort, and it looks like he's not making an effort, but I can tell you there's a lot of thought that goes into these things. You don't just start a channel and attract people to it without a huge amount of planning and thought. So I got to say, it's really, really a big pleasure to have him on this morning. Hey, Matthew, nice to see you, man. How are you?
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. I hope my mic is working okay.
It's working perfectly. Yeah. Looking
such
and sounding
an honor
perfect.
To be here, actually.
Yeah, good to have you on, dude.
Thank you. I have all my friends. My friends are joining now. They're going to record it for me just in case you guys don't want to give me the tapes afterwards so that I can post it up as well.
The tapes. What do you think this is? The tapes. This is not
1990.
I'm in the recording. What, are we going to mail you a VHS tape? What do you think's going on here?
I think my mom still uses VHS tapes. My mom is very old school.
Speaking of your mom, I mean, your poor mother, the way you characterize her in your videos is actually very unfair. There are a lot of Indian moms who are going to be very upset about your stereotyping of them. But Sureshni, you've seen some of his videos, I'm sure. Do you think he's...
Oh, 100%.
Do you think it's accurate?
Yes.
Do you think he manages to...
100.
He manages to nail the Indian mom character down properly?
Yeah, oh, Matthew, you've got my mom. It feels like I'm on carte blanche, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Yeah, look at Sureshni. It's like,
wow, look at me.
It's just a silhouette.
No, really. Matthew, this is Devi Sankri Govender.
Hang on, Sureshni. This is how you, with that, Sureshni, just for those people who are listening and not watching, Sureshni's got just the silhouette showing. You know, like when they show a bad person on carte blanche or something.
Yeah, that
they
always sounds like this.
And I'm fine, and I remember going to the back of the street, and then the guy came and he gave a knife to me, and I gave him the packet of drugs.
It's the sound. All right, so sorry.
So that's what I look like visually. Wow, guys, I always wanted to be. Maybe that's what I wanted to be on Carte Blanche. Matthew, you've got my mom to the T, because that's exactly what my mom does. Exactly. Oh. You know, like something as simple as passing the remote. She's next to the remote. And then, Bhavani, come to the house. That's my other name. Bhavani, come here quickly. And you come running like, are you okay? What's going on? Just pass the remote for me. I'm like, it's
not exactly.
No, you don't even argue. Must I take my slipper out? Do you know how much I did for you? You know exactly where? You know that. How I didn't have shoes as a child? That is my mother. Indian mothers are the queens of guilt trips, and I think you've absolutely nailed
it. Big time. All right, so Matthew,
you know what I?
Tell me, how does your mom feel about any of this? Because she's surely heard, like, even if she doesn't know what TikTok is, she's definitely heard that you've become this big star on TikTok. You've got millions of people following you. And she's probably seen a video where you put, like, a shirt over your head so it looks like you've got long hair. I mean, it's low costume, but high production. And great characterization. I bet you any amount of money she doesn't like it, though.
You know what? She actually loves it because she sees I'm having fun. But the truth is, and I think a lot of my followers don't know this, my mom is nothing like that. She's a Joburg lady in and out. She has the Wat accent. It's only when she's speaking to me.
Yes.
You know, she'd be like, hey, Matthew, what's wrong with you? As soon as the phone rings, like, oh, yes, David. Oh, no, it's crazy, eh? Immediate switch. Her roots are still Durban-like, so what she says is the same, just how she says is very different, you know what I mean? So my mom, you know, she tells everyone she's not like that, but we know she is like that. She, you know, it's the same thing, it's just in a different way she's saying it. She loves it, she makes it different that she's not like that, but I mean, I think she's just super proud of me and she's, you know, my number one supporter. So no matter what I say, she's going to agree with it if it's going to get me to my dreams.
No, it's absolutely amazing to also see people starting to think it's okay again, because we went through a stage where people were like, oh no, if you stereotype anybody, even if it's your own culture, you're doing something wrong. And slowly we're starting to realize, like, those humorless people who were telling us what we could and couldn't laugh about are completely unimportant. You can laugh at whatever the hell you like. And there must be a lot of characters and things, because you sound like the kind of guy who's got in your head, you've probably got like 40 different people playing games in there the whole time, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's very fun to chill with me alone. You guys should try it sometimes. I mean, different accents. You guys are having whole, it's like a whole movie up here. It's a whole movie up here.
Right.
Definitely.
All right. So here's a question from Beth. She says, who does a better guilt trip, a Jewish mom or an Indian mom? Oof, that's going to be a tough one.
Can I just put my hand up already and I'll tell you about my mom. She walks around with victim chalk. You know, when people pass on, they line, that's my mother.
Oh,
my mother walks around with that chalk. Yeah. Now, 100%.
She could be listening this morning. Is she going to phone you afterwards and give you a proper telling to because you've been saying these things about her?
I'm going to graduate and tell her what a disappointment I am. Oh, she's like, we knew you shouldn't have married that white boy. You should have married the Indian boy.
Marry a nice Indian boy.
You see what happens when you don't marry your own. You see, Suresh, you see. No, she's not like that.
What about the rest of your family, Matthew? What do they think of it?
So I'm actually very embarrassed of my work in front of my family because it's nothing like what we are. I grew up in a Joburg household, single mom as well, you know, and I have two other brothers. So I'm the middle child. I have middle child syndrome. But I mean, I don't record videos in front of them at all. I go into my room and I wait for them to leave the house and then I go record. You know, it's very embarrassing.
It's so weird.
Very embarrassing.
That is a very funny thing that I think we all do, and we don't think about it until you have a conversation like this. So whenever I record a voiceover or an interview or I have to do a script for something, I can't do it if there are other people in the room. I kind of want it. And if someone walks in, I get embarrassed and then I have to start again, even though I'm going to produce this thing for everybody eventually. So you do a lot of them in your bedroom, obviously. When did this all start? How old were you when you started doing this?
I started, I mean, some would call it luck. My mom would say I'm blessed because I started as soon as COVID hit. I think it was April 20. Lockdown. It was lockdown time.
April 2020.
April, April 2020 is when I started, and I did a lot of Indian related stuff, and I think I got most like half of Phoenix to follow me. That's when I knew. That's when I knew something is going on here. Something is in the works. And that was the time when everyone started using TikTok. I think TikTok was blowing up at that point.
We were bored. We're all stuck at home. Plus, China had already given us the virus, so we may as well have got something entertaining out of that as well.
So
let me just give everybody a bit of a background here, because this is something you don't have to brag about. I'll do it for you. You have almost 6.5 million likes on TikTok. You have a following of some 228,000 people. And those are people who are like watching everything you do. You also have 12,500 people on Instagram. So how do they all talk to each other? Because I don't know anything about TikTok. And I sometimes feel like I should get on there. And then I stop myself when I see like adults doing dancing and like the passage at work. And I go, I don't need to be on there. But I mean, there is entertaining stuff like your stuff. How do you differentiate between what people are going for on TikTok or Instagram or anywhere else?
I think it took some time for me to actually, you know, get the differentiation right. But TikTok for me is just such a different platform. I mean, I was a nobody before I started it, and I had zero following, and I made one video that related to about 10 Indians. But those 10 Indians went and shared it to their 10 Indian friends. And as soon as I knew it, there was about 15,000 people liking my video.
So the lesson is always start with the Indian community.
I think start with your own community.
Listen, start with Govinders. He's a Govinder.
I've always said this to you. That's right, you are as well.
There are the most amount, 17 pages in the telephone book, my people.
17 pages.
My cousin, my Uncle Bobby, my Auntie Nani, and then this is how it blew up, bro.
That's amazing.
You're my people, exactly. Matt. I'm sure we're related, Matthew. I used to be a Govinder. I'm sure we're related.
Must be. So TikTok is just... you know, you don't have to be anybody. As long as it appeals to someone, I think Instagram is very different where you need a following. Like it will go on your feed. But if you don't have a following, nobody's going to see it. But TikTok, it's just mind-blowing. For anyone who's like, you know, just trying to start up any type of career, dancing, music, acting, comedy, TikTok, I think, is the best approach.
Instagram is who you aren't, and TikTok is who you really are.
Yeah, you don't have TikTok, Ben, but you do. You do some work on there, right? I mean, you guys have got an agency that deals with sports people. There's a lot of sports people who are very big on TikTok as well, right?
Yeah, I don't have any inclination to work on TikTok just yet. The agency that I'm aligned to, they do lots of TikToking. They even make weekly TikTok challenges in the office, which always revolves around people sort of dancing.
Yeah, it seems to be a thing. I don't know. Yeah, that's where we're showing our age, maybe more than anything else. But you've done
it's really not all about
that. Fight that either.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that.
I mean, like, Leanne, do you ever put sewing machine stuff on TikTok? I guess it doesn't work.
I haven't made one TikTok, and I've watched billions.
Yeah, no, Leanne's very.
Try your sewing machine on TikTok.
She's very immersed in that stuff, though. She's the one who tells me what's going on TikTok. So Matthew, you've done promotions for, like, people have paid to be a part of your TikTok. KFC have done stuff with you, ProStar, and you're going to be in two major movie productions that are going to be released this year, which is bloody amazing. You're going to be in Who's Your Daddy and Run for Life 3. That's cool. How did that happen?
So, it's called Who's My Daddy.
Oh, who's your,
nothing like what?
Not Who's thinking. Your Daddy. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's not a porno.
Family. All right, I got you.
Yeah. All right. It's all related about, you know, Father's Day and stuff. And I think I relate to that a lot because I didn't, you know, I grew up with a single mom.
Okay.
But what happened was they filmed it before COVID time, pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And they found me on TikTok. And then they were like, you know what, Matt? I think our movie just needs like a different feel. And they asked me to narrate it for them.
Oh.
And I'm so blessed. Mr. Sans Munsami is the guy that approached me. The main actors in it, or the leads, is Alfred Ntombela and Nadia Jafta, as well as Sans Munsami. So it is a big production. I think that's the biggest one. It's like my debut.
Sureshni, isn't it true that the Munsamis are the second biggest in the telephone book?
No, the Naidus. The Naidus with the double O's. And then the Naidus with the U's.
And must be Pele somewhere.
Munsamis are Pele's, Mudli's friend. Yeah, we're owning it. But Sans Munsami is an incredible, like, local actor. And what I love about Sands, he's always trying to empower fellow people. Like he wants to bring local people. And I love that about his character. And obviously Alfred Ntombela, I mean, that's just a legend from all the Leon Schuster movies. Yeah. That's really cool. Nadia Jaffta, she's huge on TikTok. Like, so, a whole icon.
So is there a lot of competition for people on TikTok? I mean, do you keep an eye on what the others are doing to see whether your likes and views are going up and theirs are going down, or like who's your main competition, Matthew?
You know, I used to look at that a lot, but I found that it was just discouraging me. And I started making videos for likes more than videos for, to make people laugh. Mm. And when I started doing that, I was getting like less and less views. So nowadays I barely spend time on TikTok. I only actually just do it to refresh my feed to see what the comments are. I don't actually watch TikTok, but when I first started, there wasn't too many Indian creators. I mean, I've seen so many comments on my page saying, Matt, you started something, or I never watched an Indian creator until I met you and now I watch them all, I'd say my biggest competition, not competition, more as, my biggest, the person I want to make a video with is Prev Reddy, because I grew up watching Prev.
So who's Prev Reddy for those people who don't know?
Prev Reddy, he's been around for many, many years. I think he started on Facebook. He does a character as well with a gown and a wig, I think, but he's like
a shit character. Yeah.
Okay, I've seen him. Yeah, I've seen his stuff. Okay.
He's actually won a Nickelodeon Award even for like an African social star. Prev is in movies. Yeah, so he really, I think, set the pace for young people a lot for his generation. And he's a dear friend. I love him. Love what he does.
Definitely.
Very authentic.
Definitely.
Well, it's kind of ironic. We didn't know that you were going to be on the same day as Sureshni, and that you both have the surname Govinda. I think that's hilarious. When the producers booked Sureshni, they were like, well, we're probably going to have a co-host that day. And it turns out that you two might even be related. How bizarre is that?
Hey, my long lost sister.
How's the family, ma? How's the auntie?
Carrying on.
All right, let me ask you both.
They got the masala scent.
let me ask you both. Like, what is the most irritating thing that people get wrong about Indian South Africans?
Can you speak Indian? What is that?
There's no such thing, right? Because there's no Indian. Right.
Why don't you sound like an Indian? Like, I always get that. Sushi speak very well for an Indian, huh? And I'm like, what is that supposed to mean? So what people must understand, the accents are very, like he spoke, Matthew spoke about Phoenix, which of course is one of the most popular cities, or towns rather,
huge,
in Durban.
Huge population.
So people from of South huge, Indians, and yeah. people from Chatsworth, Phoenix, the dialects in Durban are very different to how Joburg Indians
are. Tongaat, are you from joking?
Over tops. You know Tongaat? Oh my word. Of you, Gary. Yeah, so obviously South African Indians were born in
and Verulam. Don't forget Verulam. Don't leave them out.
Hey, I got an auntie that lives in Verulam. The way she'd be so proud that you know her place, huh? And you don't have any one traffic light in Verulam, even.
Yeah. Hey, I used to go. I used to go and play gigs in Tongaat. I did one in Chatsworth once as well. The funniest thing, I was like the only white guy there, and that was absolutely fine because I was treated like gold. But I have to tell you that the most interesting thing about it is that there would be nothing happening in the club at like 11 o'clock, and I'd think, oh my God, no one's coming. And then suddenly, at like 11:45 or whatever, everyone would be there. It would be jam packed to the roof. And I was like, where have these people been up to now? And then
Manchester United game was on. Well, that's
why. Manu game. or like they were still at home having food or whatever. But then suddenly the place would be alive, and it would only shut down like late, or to be fair, early the next morning. And it was some of the most fun stuff I've done. It was really, really cool. Some of the coolest people. Everybody's super friendly. And these are communities that a lot of the rest of us, if you're Zulu or if you're Afrikaans or if you any of that, you don't know how that community works. Because, I mean, people are doing their thing there. And it's a whole different world. If you don't go and explore it, you're missing out. It's incredible.
Definitely.
So, okay, what's the best thing about Indian South African stereotypes?
Our people, I think our humility, but mostly our culture. I think that food, the bunny chow, the way we do weddings, it's big. Everything we do is large.
Everything we do
is opulent, over tops. Yeah, I think we're such a colorful community, and I think and very misunderstood. And of course, probably the only community that supports Manchester United the way we do. If any of those players ever lose a house, let me tell you, they have got a home in kids, children in Chatsworth. Okay, yeah. Do you know how many Ronaldos and Cristiano governors that are running around? You all even know this. Eric is not even an Indian. Maybe there's an Erication or whatever, but Eric Cantona, like those kind of. They are those players. They support. But, you know, Indian people are just, we've been in this country for over 160 years. We've got, we've come from an immigrant life, and we've given our best.
So there's an interesting observation. Someone in America made an observation once that Indian people, wherever they are in the world, are the best at integrating. Like they keep their culture and they keep their traditions to some degree, but they are expertly good at getting in and becoming part of every other community as well. And it shows you, I mean, like some of the most powerful people in Silicon Valley now are first generation immigrants to America. You've got Indian people all over the world. They really are everywhere in the world. They've moved to every corner of the globe, and everywhere they go, they do a really good job of integrating, which is something that the rest of us could learn from, because there are some communities that always stay completely like closed off and they don't have anything to do with anyone. But the Indian community, if you can call it a community, the diaspora all over the world seems to be really good at this.
Definitely. But you know what the funny thing is? I've been overseas a lot, and they don't know that Indians are in South Africa. They always say, "Oh, brother, where are you from?" And I'm like, "South Africa." They're like, "No, Mumbai." I'm like, "No, South Africa." You know, for some reason, they don't know that we believe. Oh, well, they don't believe we're here. You know, They think we're Mexicans. It's crazy.
Mexicans. Wow.
We are the American Mexicans, the South Africans.
Oh Lord!
But isn't that why?
Yeah, that's. I mean, that must be one thing that you get a lot. You've probably got a lot of overseas followers, right, on TikTok, and I'm sure they comment stupid things.
Yeah,
the ignorance is just unbelievable.
Definitely.
All right. So, what's the most popular video you've done?
Sure, I don't even know. I think there was one where I imitated Mrs. Cyril Ramaphosa when he lost his iPad. There was a huge trend going on. But I managed to make that video the same night the whole thing happened, and then it blew up, and I think it got like 2 million that's views brilliant. Or something. I think that's the biggest one. But in terms of my own stuff, probably my cashier videos. They love the cashier videos. I imitate the Pick and Pay cashier. And, you know, I'm like, smash up a cat. Like those types of things.
Smash up.
Yeah, I think those ones do the best. I think those ones do the best.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I mean, it's a real thrill to have you on here and to meet you. And keep doing the great work that you're doing. I just love it. Everyone can follow you. I'm going to put the TikTok at on the screen at the moment. It's Matthew.Govender. If you go onto TikTok, you can find him there. And on Instagram, it's Matthew J. Govender. Well done to you, man. It's great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thank you for the opportunity. What a pleasure.
It's great to meet you. There he is, Matthew Govender, big star on TikTok and doing amazing stuff. Nice. Yeah, you see, this is what I like to see, is people doing incredible things and doing them in their own way. And it just shows you again, you don't need to have a massive infrastructure. You don't need to be on national television. You don't need to have connections. You can just start making content and you can become an overnight sensation. He only started this 2 years ago at the beginning of lockdown.
Yeah. Eric, but you've always said that.
Yeah.
Even from... before some social media platforms existed,
yeah,
you always said everyone is a broadcaster.
Well, yeah, and I think that what's so great about what Matthew's doing is that you don't need like tons of expensive equipment, and you don't even need to start with an audience. If you're just funny and you have an interesting take on things, you can grow that audience. You can do incredible things. And I think, you know, for many of us, we put blocks in our head about, oh, well, I can't because... And then you have no one to blame but yourself. if it doesn't happen.
Also, his content is very authentic. It's so relatable. It's amazing. It resonates with, yeah, as soon as you see it, you see your mom, you know? So that's what I think I love about TikTok creators. So, they're talking about authenticity, and that's really cool.
I was just scrolling through the link that Dari sent us. I mean, there are tons of videos here. He's got a whole swathe of these things. I think 401 videos that I can see here on this thing. But the guy is really, really, like, he's smart. He's just doing what he does. This just proves again, don't create barriers for yourself. Just get on with it. And you can really access the whole world these days. There's no excuse. I'm tired of hearing people going, "Oh, please can you give me a job, or why don't you make this happen for me?" Right? Enough for
another key thing there is there are 401 videos. 401 videos means he's got a work ethic, and that's what gets you hit in any industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, for this kind of digital world, you have to put something out almost every day, and you've got to be consistent. Otherwise, you're not going to be on somebody's For You page. You're going to be scrolled. But just out of interest, Gareth, if you were to join, like, what would be your thing? Because some people, they have a thing, right? It's a niche. Either they're great at cleaning and they're showing you cleaning hacks. Those are the kind of things that I love. Or great people question. Are into book talk.
I love
or
those
clean talk. What is your hacks dancing? I can't do.
No. So I mentioned a little while ago that there are two things that I get into. I go into the rabbit hole and I could watch like hours of this shit, and it's so embarrassing. First one is the cleaning stuff or the life hacks around the house. It's like, you know, how do you clean a pot or what do you do with your toothbrush after you can't use it anymore? And I know you love those too, Sureshni. So that's really stupid because I feel like a housewife when I watch those things. And then the other one.
That's so good.
The other one that I watch is, you know, those.
Clean talk is huge.
Yeah, it is. It's a massive category. And I promise you, I can watch that for hours. And then because I'm such a nerd, I'll actually make notes and like do that stuff around my house. So if I find a new way to hang shoes in your cupboard or something. I'll do this stuff, and it makes me so happy. It's ridiculous. I can't believe I'm even talking about it. The other thing is, I watch those pneumatic presses. You know those things that they squash things.
Yes.
And they'll put a toy under there, or they'll put a hammer, or they'll put a thermos flask or a lamp or whatever, and they smash these things up with these huge pressure machines. I mean, that's also dumb. But I don't know, Ben has just started a new channel on Instagram for like people over 40 who want to get into shape and live a more kind of healthy and productive life.
Oh,
that's cool. So you're already doing it.
Yeah, I don't think it would work on TikTok.
Completely. Promise. There's so many weight loss, fitness.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
especially for over 40s.
Yes, I'm definitely over 40, nearing 45. But those ones I watch, especially, I'm insulin resistant and I'm pre-diabetic. So I've started watching, getting advice about, okay, how do I get myself and how I can reverse? I've got something called polycystic ovarian syndrome. I didn't know about these things until I started watching TikTok. I'm like, that makes sense. And I watch so many of those tips about how to change my lifestyle just to get my health back on track. And it's been working and it's really good. So I'm keen, Ben. I'm in.
Yeah, and just remember that
me to run,
the over 35.
No, you mustn't run. Running's bad.
The over 35s have now overtaken the teens and 20 somethings in terms of viewership on TikTok.
Huh. So, Leanne, you could do that sewing machine channel you've always dreamed of.
Listen, okay, I'll be honest. I did sew something once. I tried to make a little blind for a little square window when I had the sewing machine. The reason I had it, I was in McGregor. There weren't any tailors.
Yeah.
So you had to, if you needed hamps pinned. Then, so anyway, I did. I sewed a little, it was just a square piece of fabric. And the tension was so wrong, it came out looking like a bow tie.
Oh, shit. Okay, so you gave up. So Parallel Parking says, I should start a TikTok channel where I do impersonations.
Yeah, that would be huge. And
voice impersonations, yes.
Yeah, there's a
If you started one, your opinions would be gold. Mm. Just little 30-second clips on your opinion on something.
That's what we do here. I mean, I don't know if I need to do more than this.
No, that's exactly it. It's like another great thing about TikTok and all these new platforms, it just gives you new ways to find audiences, but you can't keep chasing these platforms.
No.
Like for some people starting out, it's great. It's probably the best thing because it's the best audience. But if you've got existing things, you should kind of just try and master your core all of the time.
Sanele likes to watch
those. It'd be weird for you to be on TikTok.
Yeah, it would. I'd feel like an imposter. Sanele says the bubble wrap videos are the best. They're a rabbit hole for me. I need to be in a support group for that. That's another one. And those ones that, you know, those industrial shredding machines, like they've got these teeth yes. and they kind of, it's like a drum and you could throw a car in there and it'll like smash it up and churn out little pieces of aluminium and metal at the other end. It's very, very
fun. You need to watch the back cracks. I'm obsessed with chiropractors that do and mukbang. Mukbang is my thing. I love mukbang. It's all I watch. I have to eat watching somebody else's mukbang. No, that's a rabbit hole. And pimple popping.
No, I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. No.
So satisfying. Oh, you have to watch it.
All right. So with all this
like
talk.
Pimple popping and like chiropractors, that's just human bubble wrap, basically.
I love it.
That's exactly what it is. Human bubble wrap. That is so gross. Ugh. My sister's into that. She loves those pimple popper things. She thinks it's hilarious.
It feels so good for that. Those people that have the blackheads or pimples remove, like, oh, how do you feel? You, Dr. Pimple Pop. Yes, she's brilliant. She's Conga awesome. Chris, obviously, he's on TikTok a lot. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. So I use old – here's Robin bringing us back to earth. I use old toothbrushes to scrub between my toes in the shower. You are so disgusting. I'm so revolted and repulsed right now. What is it about not wanting to throw away used toothbrushes? I'm a toothbrush hoarder. I've got a whole, like, jar of old toothbrushes. You know, they are useful for cleaning things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if you're in a prison or like time out cleaning tiles, I don't
know. Yeah, can make on. Shanks out of them.
Yes. What are you meant to do? What are you meant to do? I can't throw them away. They feel like something you should keep. It feels like something you could find
it's
a use for.
It's good for cleaning the grouts, I suppose, when you're doing tiling or something like that.
Use for those things. I don't know.
I use them. I use used toothbrushes once. Like if there's something really gross I have to do with a toothbrush, like do moldy
no,
shit.
No, covering your grays. I've used a toothbrush for covering grays. Yes. Oh. Have you ever tried that trick? Very
No,
nice.
Sureshni, because if...
No, I just let them all hang out.
No.
I've got so many grays.
Well, listen, I mean, before we wrap this up, I know that there's a whole bunch of other stuff on your agenda, Sushi, that you want to get out there. And you've got an obsession with an amazing TikToker who loves cleaning. Tell us who that is.
Oh, her name is Mbali Nhlopo. She is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I think she owns like this cleaning company and she teaches women little like hacks and tricks. So obviously in my household, curry is the number one dish, right? But when you use it in like, let's say you're putting it in a lunchbox or like a Tupperware container, it stains it. Do you know how to get rid of it? Let me tell you, because Mbali taught me this. Yes. You put the paper towel, like a normal paper towel, in, and you pour your sunlight liquid over it, and you let it soak, and you literally just wipe it with water. Wipes it away, gone. And bicarb of soda and vinegar will change your life as a combination. Cleans toilets, stains. And if you have a situation with spiders, and Mbali tells me that peppermint oil that assists with spiders and salt. Ooh. Oh, she's phenomenal. And it's so good because she teaches you such simple hacks and stains and how to get rid of grease.
I hate that I love this stuff so much. I'm definitely.
But she's so good. And she's South African, you know? And I love that I can now find the products that she speaks about, some cream of tartar that comes from, you know, Wisconsin or something. Yeah. So she goes, guys, get to your Checkers. This is what you're going to get. And I was like, yes, amazing. Mbali, I'm here.
Mbali,
yeah.
Who?
So she's lovely. So Mbali and Tlapo, yeah. Tlapo. Oh, she's lovely.
I know, Ben, I must have been a housewife in my previous life, right?
Clearly.
Some kind of putzfrau.
That's why you looked a misogynist in this one.
thanks. I needed to be reminded of that. Beth says, what about salt, vinegar, and dishwash soap to get cooked on grease off the outside of pans? Oh, you see, there's lots of people who are enjoying this. It's not just me. All right. Anyway, so just a quick reality check. We are going into the weekend now. It's Friday the 13th for those people who are extremely superstitious. So, you know, if you are one of those people like Sureshni, don't go outside. Don't drive a car. It's very dangerous. Friday the 13th, scary, all that stuff. That means Leanne is going to you started your morning already with Friday the 13th. You had an unexpected load shedding, right?
And no water.
It's beautiful. What a way to start your day. Ben, any hints of Friday the 13th coming through already?
No, I think that's mostly bullshit, huh? Yeah. It's Friday. It's another day. It's like when people say, oh, I can't believe it's already May. It's like every day goes after the other.
You used to get very annoyed with me when I said that. All right. But you are compiling. I mean, ironically, you're compiling this sequence of photographs, which will be interesting to watch by the end of the year. And that'll show you how much change there is and why it's worth remarking on, Ben. Bastard.
Yeah, but it happens all the time, though. It's not a surprise. People try to surprise themselves to make it like life's interesting.
All right. Well, listen, everybody.
Next.
Have a good weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning, bright and early. There's no George Meany today. He's unfortunately, I don't know if he's out traveling or if he's sick or whatever, but George sent us a message last night that he won't be joining us this morning. So we're going to wrap it up for today, and hopefully you have a better weekend Bitcoin-wise and everywhere else, and we will catch you on Monday morning very early. Sureshni, nice to see you. Ben, we'll catch up next week. And Leanne Moll, thank you very much. We'll catch up, everybody, on Monday.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Cheers. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Ciao. Bye.
Cheers. Cheers. Bye-bye. Ciao. CliffCentral.com.